Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. On occasions, priests meet people who have had the faith all their life, but haven't always frequented the sacrament of penance as often as they could or should. Sometimes after 20, 30, 40, 50 years, then it comes to that time when they need to pass from here to there, time unto eternity, they call the priest, and the priest might ask, would you like to go to confession? And they sometimes say, Father, I've done nothing wrong. What they're really saying is, I haven't gone to jail, I haven't been arrested, I haven't broken the law, and I can't think of anything I've done wrong. At that moment enters the gospel and Jesus, who takes us aside and says, I would like to say something to you. Sometimes it's not what we've done, but what we've failed to do. Sometimes it's not the sins we have committed, but rather the acts of kindness and generosity that we have omitted. At the start of our Mass, we say the penitential rite, the confiteor, for the sins we have done, and no, we also say for the things we have failed to do. The sins of omission are glaring, and yet often we're blind to them, because we only think in terms of doing, not in things we haven't done that we ought to have done. Simon saw at the end of this discourse that he had failed, that he had sinned, that he had omitted to show basic hospitality and kindness to the Lord. And that's why he was blind to the presence of Christ in his midst and wasn't able to ask for forgiveness until this whole episode had ended. Then he realized, yes, I have failed. Sins of omission can only be brought to our sight through a good examination of conscience, because we can't see them, because we haven't done them. They're almost invisible, or like holes in our heart that need to be filled. In this year of mercy, it's most advantageous to have a good examination of ourselves in the sight of God, as if Christ is coming to us and saying, I have something to say to you. Let's avoid that moment by having something to say to him in forgiveness, seeking his mercy for the times we have not done that which we ought. Blindness to our sin, and sin is like poor health to the body, it's poor health to the soul. We can have weaknesses there. We can have a weakness to this illness or to that. We might have a vitamin deficiency, we might have a back ailment. Our body has multiple weaknesses. Well, so too does our soul. And the spiritual life of our soul, its health and hygiene, is determined by how well we stand in the sight of God. How healthy we are in his sight, not in the sight of the law or the government. Because we don't meet them at death, but we do meet the Lord. So let us take stock in this year of mercy of how we stand. Let us be like Simon and be confronted by Christ. As in the Old Testament, David was confronted by Nathan. This is one of the great moments in forgiveness in the Old Covenant with King David. We recall King David was chosen to be the king of Jerusalem, and God wanted a temple built. But David forfeited the right to build that temple, and it would pass on to his son Solomon, who would also reign for 40 years. What did David do? Well, you've heard the shortened version in the first reading. David, not long after taking the citadel of Jerusalem was powerful. His army was out winning battles here and there. On one summer's evening, he went up the top of his building, where he lived like a palace, had a flat roof, and he looked yonder and saw a woman bathing on her roof. She was very beautiful. Her name was Bathsheba. David owned Jerusalem, he owned Bathsheba. He sent people to bring her to him. He had relations with her. She fell pregnant. She was with child.
and the child was David's.
He sent her back to her home and thought, how embarrassing. What public scandal will come from this? I better find the husband of Bathsheba, who was the commander in the army fighting for David. His name was Uriah. He was called back from the front line, given a few days' leave. David said to him, "Well done. You're doing good work for the kingdom. Go home and enjoy the comforts of your wife." He wouldn't. He slept outside. David heard of that and invited him next day to a banquet, fed him well, made sure he drank too much. When men drink too much, they often think of something or someone. He said, "Go home to your wife, enjoy her company." He didn't. He went to the barracks and slept with the soldiers. The next day, David summoned Uriah to him again. He said, "You didn't go home to your wife last night?" He said, "How could I, King David? Soldiers do not have relations with their wives during battle. My soldiers are on the front line. How could I seek their comfort when they cannot? What type of commander would I be?" David said, "Fine, I can see you are well disposed. I'm sending you back now to the battle. Here, take with you this letter." It's a sealed envelope. Inside was an order given to General Joab in charge of the army, and it read, "Uriah is a good soldier. Put him in the front line. At the fiercest moment of battle, then pull back. Sometimes soldiers are lost in battle, sometimes even good ones." That's what happened. Uriah was put in the front line. It was an ugly moment of battle. The soldiers pulled back, left him there, and he was slain. He died. Word came back, "Uriah, the commander, has died. Oh, how sad," says King David. Bathsheba, his wife, put on mourning clothes for a period of time, then she moved in with King David. And David never thought twice of one, committing adultery, two, killing Uriah. He was blind to what he had done. His conscience was not tuned in to God's law, but his own wants, his own power, his own prestige. Blindness had covered him. He needed someone to tell him what to do. As Simon was corrected by Jesus, Nathan, a prophet, corrected David, told him a story of injustice and justice to awaken his conscience. And then David, being outraged at the injustice of this man, said, "Who is the man?" Nathan said, "You are the man. You took Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. You committed adultery, and then to cover your sin, you killed him. You are the man." David felt guilt, sorrow, and remorse. He confessed his sin before God and Nathan. God forgave him. He did penance to make up for his sin, and then he wrote Psalm 50. It's one of the seven sorrowful or penitential psalms of the Bible. It's most haunting, most beautiful, and it's from his heart to God seeking forgiveness. We pray that we might not have a Nathan come into our life, but let us be open to God's grace in this year of mercy. Let us examine ourselves as we stand before the Lord, and not as we stand before ourselves, because like David, we can be hiding from our sins. And in doing so, we too, in being forgiven, might find the mercy of God, as did David so long ago. Praise be Jesus Christ.